Thanks, Jeff. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been doing kind of like a brief three-week series on some of the joys of Easter. We've walked through the joys of release from shame. And last week, if you were with us, Cam spoke about the release from slavery and the ways in which parts of life gets enslaved. And today, we're going to look at guilt. But before we do that, I'm going to invite my friend June. June's going to come and bring us... No, you don't have to give her a round of applause. Do you need to give her a round of applause? Gee.
Today I'm reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to death? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you'll be with me in paradise."
Thanks so much, June. That was lovely. You know, is there anything worse Then cruising down the highway and out of nowhere you hear the wail of a siren? Look into your mirror and see a blue light flashing? Is there anything worse than that? It doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter how well behaved a driver you are. There's a moment, isn't there? There's a moment when we just have this sense of dread wash over us. Our heart sinks and we ask ourselves, what have I done? Am I in the wrong? You ever have that experience? I'm glad there's some of you. I never have. Someone told me that's true. It might be, that experience might only be surpassed by the feeling when you wander to your mailbox and you see a letter which has kind of a suspicious heading. You open it and you see this. You know, every human goes through these things where we have this sense of, I've been caught. My speeding has consequences. My behaviour has consequences. And there is this sense of guilt that washes over us, isn't it? Where we know that we've done something wrong. It doesn't matter who you are. Every human seems to have this kind of common experience, this sense of right and wrong, and that this awareness of our actions lead to consequences. It's not actually restricted to religious people. It's almost like it's a fundamental aspect of what it is to be a human. We don't teach a child to do something wrong, or we don't teach a child to feel guilty. It just seems innate to who we are. Guilt. If shame attacks our identity, who I am, well then guilt targets our behaviour, doesn't it? There's some guilt in life which feels kind of almost like trivial and fleeting. You know, I accidentally knocked over my neighbour's flower pot. But some guilt seems to linger, doesn't it? Now, sort of the words that we spoke in anger. Or maybe some choices that we made and we've seen how they hurt and harmed others. For some of us, it's habits that we can't seem to break. And guilt just lingers. We live in this strange society, that seems to oscillate between, on one hand, minimizing wrongdoing, pretending that guilt and sin is not a big deal, but yet on the other hand, at times they engage in publicly condemning people who haven't lived up to standards and expectations that we have. But inside each of us, actually it doesn't really matter what others think, does it? Inside each of us, guilt lives. The consequences of our actions, my poor decisions. And guilty, we carry this burden and this dread. Our consciences never let us forget it, do they? They remind us when we've done the wrong thing. It happens in the silence, in the hiding places of our life. Guilt just hovers over us. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that your experience? The things that you don't speak about to anybody else. That you take and that you bury deep down, hidden away. You know, the antidote in a simple way to guilt is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. It's equally really obvious, but also incredibly difficult. Now, guilt is real because we recognize that someone's been hurt and it's painful, and so it makes forgiveness not cheap at all. You see, forgiveness is always costly. It is. Someone always pays when it comes to forgiveness. You think about it this way. If you offend me, right, you call me a terrible name or maybe you gossip about me, well, justice would be that I respond to you equally. I call you a horrible name. I gossip about you. I mean, that's just. That's an eye for an eye. That's justice. But if you ask for forgiveness, if you say, I'm sorry, Andrew, what you're asking is for me to forgive you. You're asking for justice not to be meted out. Forgiveness says, I will take on the wrong. I will be hurt, but I won't extract hurt on you. I choose not to take action that would be just. I'll forgive. I'll experience the hurt, but I won't put any hurt on you. You see, forgiveness is costly. Because someone always pays. I mean, think about it in practical expressions. If someone owes you money, say $100, right? And they come to you and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't afford to pay you back. Please forgive me. What they're saying is, please forgive my debt. Don't claim that $100 back. That's what they're saying. That's what forgiveness is. And practically, that means what? If someone asks you that, you absorb the loss. Because forgiveness is expensive. Someone always pays. Or imagine this. You're driving out of the car park today. Well, actually, my story says that I'm driving out of the car park today, but I think it's probably you. As the pastor, of course, I'm deeply in prayer as I leave the service today. But unfortunately, I'm not driving a Tesla with a radar detector, and I plow into the side of your car. You hear the crash. You come over to check things out. Oh, I'm sorry, I say to you. I wasn't looking where I was driving. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. What am I asking? Am I asking, please forgive me for being careless? I'm sorry that I caused this inconvenience. I'll contact my insurance company and get your car repaired. Or am I asking you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I don't have any insurance and I can't afford the $5,000 of car repairs. You see, true forgiveness pays the debt. I mean, if I pay for the cost of the car repair, you may have forgiven me the inconvenience, but you actually haven't forgiven me for the accident. You've just claimed what's just. Because forgiveness, real forgiveness, is always costly. Someone always pays. And to get rid of guilt in our life, we need to be forgiven, don't we? I mean, truly forgiven for all the rubbish that's a part of our lives. I think that's why forgiveness is so difficult, isn't it? We struggle with these steps of forgiveness. We struggle to ask for forgiveness and we struggle to offer forgiveness. Our pride gets in the way. Our fear gets in the way. And so we hide it. We pretend that it doesn't exist. And yet you and I know that we still carry this burden of guilt around, don't we? You know, at the heart of forgiveness, at the heart of guilt is our relationships. When we experience guilt, it's this sense of, I have hurt someone. Relationships are at the core of it. Forgiveness is needed because that relationship is broken. Guilt is always related to relationships. And our problem that each of us have in life is that the guilt that we feel and we experience is not just because we've broken relationships with each other. It's also because we've broken a relationship with God. Our guilt, our sin, our expression of our rebelliousness from God actually destroys our relationship. It breaks that relationship. And so, as much as guilt is about the breaking of relationship, forgiveness is about the restoration of that relationship. You see, sin is not just about lying or stealing or being greedy or whatever it might be. It's about the fact that my heart, my life is rebellious against God. I don't live the way in which we were designed to live. I don't love God and I don't love other people the right way. I've broken my relationship with God and I need His forgiveness. We've all done it, haven't we? Haven't we? I mean, you know in your heart, been many a times when we've just kind of shunned God and we've just done the wrong thing. And we need that forgiveness. We need that forgiveness to deal with the guilt of what's broken. Because my rebellion is real. My guilt is real. And it's only forgiveness that will wash it away. You know, June read earlier. It says, the criminal protested when they're up on the cross. He says, don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. We deserve to die. That's their guilt, isn't it? We deserve to die. It's not just the criminal, of course, though, is it? It's each of us. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way. He says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. That's the broken relationship. That's where the guilt originates from. And without forgiveness, without the washing away of all this guilt, that distance from God, that broken relationship that just stains everything in our life. There's no intimacy with God, no connection. Forgiveness is needed to restore that. Difficult. What do? I feel like sometimes I'd rather bury it and pretend that it doesn't exist. The only solution, though, is forgiveness, isn't it? We need it. But it's difficult because forgiveness is always costly. You know, someone always pays a price. And that's why Easter is so essential. Because Easter addresses the deepest part of our soul of who we are. The cross of Jesus doesn't pretend that guilt doesn't exist. It doesn't minimize guilt, doesn't make it kind of, it's inconsequential, not a big deal. Instead, the cross confronts guilt directly, confronts it honestly. Our guilt says that there's a debt that we must pay, that forgiveness is needed, and Easter addresses that. It speaks to it. It enters into that. The cross, the shame, the separation, the pain tells us something sobering. Forgiveness is not cheap, but the cross is available. Jesus pays this price for forgiveness. The Apostle Paul writes these words in Colossians. He says about Jesus, he says, he cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Takes all the shame, all the guilt, all the burdens that you carry on your shoulders, all the things that you bury down deep, and he nails it to a cross. Do you hear that today? Do you hear that? Maybe you've never heard it or never understood it, and you carry this guilt and shame. You pretend that things are all right in your life, but you know deep down they're not. I want you to hear today that Easter speaks into your guilt and offers forgiveness. God makes a way. God makes a way for it to be wiped away. You know, justice always demands a price, but Jesus pays that price. Paul, when he writes this letter to the church in Rome, says, God in his grace freely makes us right. He makes us right in his sight. He does this through Jesus when he frees us from this penalty. Forgiveness is expensive. Someone has to pay a price. No, but sadly, so many of us live in a strange place. We kind of live between two worlds. Intellectually, there's some of us here today who affirm the truths that I've just been talking about. Intellectually, you do. You agree with those statements that I've been making. But practically, still continue to live like condemned people. Carry the guilt and the shame of all we've done. Don't truly believe that we could actually be forgiven. It's like we trust our memories more than we trust what God promises. We carry a notebook in our souls, don't we? And in our notebook is written a list of all the things we've done wrong. Those words that we regret, the failures we remind ourselves about, all the things that we wish we could take back. You know, on the cross, it tells us that there was a sign placed on the top of it. It says, here is Jesus, the King of the Jews. All right? That's not a sign trying to tell someone about their name, as if they've forgotten it. That sign, in fact, is a sign declaring what their crimes were. Okay? So Jesus was crucified primarily for the crime of blasphemy, for claiming to be God. And so they wrote that declaration above the cross. That was the crime he was accused of. We don't carry a sign above our heads, no, don't we? No. But what we do is we take a piece of paper in our life, kind of like this, and we get the big permanent marker of our life, and we write on this piece of paper, we write down liar, we write down hater, we write down shame, we write down guilt. And we carry it around with us, don't we? You know, I want to tell you today, this is what Jesus offers for you. He takes that paper. Please pray that I don't burn my hand here. He takes that paper and he wipes it away. There's nothing left. No more shame. No more guilt. No more sin. That's the promise of Easter. In Psalm 103, it says that he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't store it in a lockbox. He doesn't bring it up later on when there's been another fight. You let me down, I'm just going to bring it back again. It's gone. The cross, God absorbs the debt of humanity. Jesus prays, Father, forgive them. Not because it doesn't matter, but because he chooses to pay that price. Justice isn't ignored on the cross, it's fulfilled. And today, on this Easter Sunday, we take it even one step further because the resurrection of Jesus announces a new reality. Life has changed because we live in the light of those consequences. We live in the light of forgiveness. There's now no condemnation. The resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee of forgiveness. You see, Easter is the announcement that forgiveness is not wishful thinking. It's accomplished reality. If Friday is about a payment, Sunday is about a receipt. When Jesus rises, it signals that debt has been completely dealt with. Done. Death has no more claim. You see, Easter is not just about Friday and Saturday 2,000 years ago. Easter is about today and the future. To live in the light of Easter with no more guilt and shame. Because Jesus took them on. Your freedom is secure. Easter breaks the chains of slavery and addiction. We can be forgiven. Your guilt can be washed away. The past does not need to haunt you. You know, forgiveness is expensive. Someone always pays a price. Forgiveness is expensive. Jesus is the one who offers to pay that price. You know, and today I'd like to pray a prayer over each of us that you will both receive that forgiveness and understand it. So I want to invite you right now to bow your heads. Maybe to close your eyes. And I want to say to you while you're there like that, I want to say if you have a sense within your soul that you need this release, I actually want to invite you today to stand up. I want to invite you to stand up. I want to ask you to say, let my physical action be an expression of my desire. Now, and I know that there is some fear of embarrassment. I want to say to you, put that aside. Others aren't watching. God's the one who sees you. If you ever sense that that's for you, I invite you to stand. Some of us, there's events in our life from a year ago, from 10 years ago, that we have this sick guilt. I want to pray over you today. Our loving God, we come before you today. We're aware of the weight that we carry, the things that we've done, the words we regret, those times, those moments we wish we could undo. Lord, we confess our sin to you. We ask your forgiveness. You know it already and still you invite us to come. And if that's you today, I want to invite you just to do that right now in the silence. Our God, we acknowledge the guilt we feel, the darkness that's in our minds, the accusations in our hearts. For some of us, God, this guilt has lingered for years. It shapes how we see ourselves, how we relate to others, even how we come to you. But today we bring it into the light. Jesus, thank you that you carried our sin to the cross. Thank you that you paid what we could not pay. Thank you, your forgiveness is given. And today we receive your forgiveness. Today we receive your forgiveness. Not just in our heads, but deep down in our souls, we receive your forgiveness. Remind us, God, that it's for each one of us. Doesn't matter whether we're 16 or 46 or 76, forgiveness is for each one of us. Help us to let go of the things that we've been holding on to release that guilt, so we receive it now. Help us to walk from this place, not weighed down by guilt, but lifted by the freedom of your forgiveness. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. It's life-changing truth, isn't it? I am forgiven. And it's my prayer for each one of us that we would know that truth, not just in our head. Maybe we've even just maybe experienced for the first time, but we would actually know it in our heart, deep down in ourselves. All that guilt, that shame's forgiven on the cross. And Easter Sunday invites us to live that way. Not to pretend, but to truly know what it is to be forgiven. You know, can I say that for some of us, maybe that's not our experience. After the service, there'll be some people down here on my left, on your right. If you want to pray with someone, please take the opportunity afterwards. Just go and sit down there with them. They'd love to pray with you. If you want to pray with me, I'll be out in the foyer around the kind of door. But if you want to pray with me, just tap me on the shoulder. We'll find a quiet place. Now, when we go into this week, as we go into Monday, as we go into our workplaces, we go into our homes with kids home from school holidays and chaos and stuff and things like that. My prayer is that we will know that forgiveness then. Not just in this moment. My prayer is that we'll know that forgiveness in the dark times. You know the times I'm talking about. Times when there's no one else around. This shadow comes back from us. It tells you you're guilty. You need to be reminded, no, I'm not. But Jesus has paid that price. So as we go, may we live in that freedom, live in that forgiveness. Amen.